Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sped Homeschool Conversations. We are so glad to have you here with us tonight. So we wrapped up a series last month. We were talking about testing and evaluations and data. And this month, we are diving into summer learning. And we have a great topic for you tonight. It's called Hands-on Learning with Museums, and or Using Museums for Hands-on Learning. And our special guest tonight is Stephen Policastro, and he's with IAC, the International Association for Creation. And we're going to be talking about museums and just some ways that maybe you haven't even thought about using them hands-on, because I know we had a discussion in our support group this week about how do you use museums for hands-on learning, kind of just get the conversation going. And parents were like, well, that just seems like a no-brainer. But I think you're probably going to share with us some things, Stephen, that we haven't thought about yet, because you are, you live, eat, and breathe, I think, museums.
Yes.
So, so welcome, and thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Peggy. It's such a great pleasure to work with you and your team over the past number of months to kind of kickstart this summer learning program of using museums. And just so thankful for everything you do to reach out to the communities, you know, homeschooling and accessibility. Just thank you so much for that. And yeah, as we talk tonight, we're going to have some question and answer session time. So if you guys have any questions, drop them in the chat box on your screen. And we would love to facilitate that conversation with you. As Peggy had said, like, there'll probably be some things maybe that are new. So I always like having like a notepad and a pen out to write notes down as I listen to these types of conversations. So really looking forward to getting started tonight.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because we have been working for a couple months on this because we have two downloads we're introducing to you tonight. They're free on both of our websites. And as Stephen's team and my team have been working together to create those to make museums more accessible for families who have children with special needs, they brought up things that we thought, really? We can ask for that? And so so I just want you to really, you know, kind of take museums a little out of the box tonight as to how you perceive them. Because as we got to know Stephen's team, they said, you know, we really want to make these museums accessible to you. And so so that's what we're really going to talk about tonight is some different ways that maybe you haven't even considered if your child has issues interacting with a museum as it is, that you can you can access it still with even with your child having those struggles. So so I'm excited to get started, but I really want our audience to get to know you, Stephen, and just a little, share a little bit about your homeschooling and advocacy background, and and then we'll kind of dive into museums from there.
All right, yeah. So I've been pretty deeply involved in the homeschool movement for the past decade. In our local church, we have a co-op, and so I teach biblical worldview to middle and high school students or the Orlando, Florida area. Also been a speaker at some homeschool conferences speaking on this very topic of using museums in your homeschool, which, as you said, like, eat, breathe, and drink that, and sleep it. So it's a passion of mine, definitely, is connecting, like, museum resources, and especially creation science museum resources with the homeschooling community, because they need each other. And so I got involved in the museum scene about back in 2012. Just started praying for one museum in Washington State. I'm in Florida here, and just a succession plan for them. They'd have the ability to find a new director. And they started seeing their prayers get answered, started telling their other museum friends. Their other museum friends started calling me and my friends at church asking for prayer. And sure enough, we're like, well, we should get them all connected so they can pray for each other. Now 7 years down the road, God has birthed this miraculous and beautiful plan that literally stretches like to all corners of the earth, really, when it comes to promoting creation science through hands-on learning. So really excited to share about that with you guys. So whether you're in the United States, Canada, or anywhere else around the globe, you know, you can really use these resources to help point your kids to Christ.
Yeah, you are very internet-based like we are, and we find that our reach is global. And yeah. and so it's nice that, yes, your resources are very easy to access and use anywhere. So yeah. Definitely. So that's kind of how you got involved with museums as well. Have you always been a museum kind of?
Yes.
You loved museums when you were young?
Yes. So ever since I was 4 years old, I learned that God created the earth in 6 days. And ever since then, I was like, wow, like, that's really cool. Like, I love stepping outside in creation and seeing God's handiwork and how it declares his glory. And even stepping into museums, same thing, you know, just like, wow, how does this exhibit point us to Jesus Christ? Like, that's my favorite question to ask. And I cannot walk through a museum without asking myself that question. So it's great.
Yeah, that's awesome. I know it was fun taking my kids through that, you know, creation aspect, and my daughter going, well, how do dinosaurs fit into this? And, you know, and just, yeah. You know, we getting some resources that were biblically based, and she, and mm-hmm. her head just started spinning. You could see mm-hmm. the wheels going, and she's like, oh, this really does make sense. And, mm-hmm. you know, and so, yeah, it's just exciting to be able to share that with our audience here too. I'm going to reconfigure our screen here so we can get your slides up as well. So do you want to just, let's dive into why it's important first to engage in hands-on learning. And then we're talk about your organization as we come to the end and all the resources you have to offer.
Sure.
But I definitely, you know, want to get into the why. And like you said earlier, for those of you that are watching the broadcast, if you have questions as we go along or comments, definitely put them in the feed below the video, because we'll be able to see them and we'll be able to address them and talk to you, which is what the awesome part of being live. For those of you, I'm sorry, that are listening on the podcast or watching on YouTube, join us on another session that is live and check out our event schedule as on our Facebook page. But so let's dive into this. So why is it important to engage in hands-on learning?
Yeah, so there are so many studies out there, too many mm-hmm. to even cite, but there are a lot of studies out there that prove that tactile or hands-on learning helps increase your child's critical thinking and understanding. So those are two really important things when, you know, a young moldable heart is coming into the world, that they think critically and that they understand.
Right.
So those, I think that's kind of the premise there, is that the children, the young, like the youth, this younger generation mm-hmm. is going to be set in some kind of way, right? And we want to see them set in a biblical way. Mm-hmm. So that's why our heart is to take these museums and use them to point kids and families to Christ. Because that's the ultimate, like the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And you can glorify mm-hmm. God and enjoy him in a museum.
Mm-hmm, definitely. So, you know, I'm an engineer by background, or by schooling, and scientist. And so growing up, I remember questioning everything. But if you gave, you know, especially if it was taught out of a book, I was one of those hard-headed kids that, you know, I had to learn it the hard way, or, you know, do a hands-on project to really be convinced. And so hands-on learning takes away that questionable thing that kids often will go, oh, well, the teacher said that, but I don't believe it.
Right.
And so definitely, you know, having those opportunities for hands-on learning, and I've even seen it in my own kids, it's mm-hmm. you can't refute it when you've just proved it as you're using whatever, you know, you're using it with your hands and touching it. And so definitely.
Right.
So anything else to add on that with engaging with hands-on learning?
Yeah, just that, you know, museums are only one example. So like zoological parks, theme mm-hmm. parks, just stepping outside in your own backyard, yeah. national parks. Mm-hmm. There's so many hands-on learning opportunities. And like nowadays with the advent of technology and how fast-paced things are innovating, it can be really easy to stuff museums in the back of our mind and say, oh, well, like, we'll get to that when we have a field trip day. Or, like, maybe if we're driving on vacation and we pass a museum, we might visit it on the way back home, right? So right. It, like, always seems to be an afterthought to so many people, including like my family. But like making ourselves, or yeah, forcing ourselves to put it in the forefront of our minds, not just for enjoyment's sake, but for the eternal sake of our children, that again, we can use those institutions to show them that the biblical text is true.
Yeah, you can weave the Bible into every subject. You know, it was interesting. I have 10 adopted siblings, and one of my brothers, one of my team members, is actually teaching him online, and he hates history, and so but he loves Bible. So she's like, so she approached my mom. She said, well, you know, really the Bible is history. So if you don't mind me teaching, like, you know, history from the Bible, then we'll just trick him that he's not doing history. So yeah, there, you can cover every subject in there, science and all of that. So I think that's kind of funny, but yeah, definitely, you know, that's a very good point that you made, is that museums aren't just the stuff you tack on for a field trip, like, you know, public schools do, as you know, that extra bonus day that the kids get. As homeschoolers, we can build that into our curriculum all the time and make use of so many resources around us. And like you said, there's other, it isn't just the big museums, it's the zoos, it's the botanical gardens, it's, you know, we belong to the Historical Society when we lived in Minnesota, and I took advantage of that, you know, at least once a week, because it was readily available, and my kids needed to get out of the house as well as me. So definitely, you know, engaging in that, it's important. So how can then museums help in this process with our education of our kids, but also with this hands-on approach?
Yeah. So really, like, in the museum world, there's two basic types of museums. There's secular museums and there's biblical worldview museums. And so all of them have the same hard evidence. And when you walk in, it really depends on what your worldview is. What are your presuppositions? Like, what do you believe before coming into the museum, that when you look at the evidence, you're thinking, oh, this is X amount of years old. And so a lot of museums, no matter what they say, how old it is on their placards, most of the staff at museums around the world are really helpful, and they want to assist children with learning. So no matter what museum is nearby you, like, engaging with the staff at the museum to ask, you know, what programs you have for kids, or, you know, maybe you have like a guide, and maybe they have a children's version of the guide that's a little bit more easy to understand. And again, like, it might be a creation science location that puts everything in context of biblical worldview. However, if it's a secular location that says millions or billions of years, still you can use that. Again, as a critical thinking tool to ask your child, like, all right, so what do you see wrong with this paragraph? And they can point out to you, like, oh, it says 6.5 billion years, or it says that humans evolved. Like, those are things that require critical thinking, and reinforces to the child that this is what I need to be looking for when I step out into the world.
Right. Yeah. And my kids, they always point those things out, you know, when we go out, you know, now that they're adults and late teen. But it was nice. I mean, we went to a lot of different museums that didn't always agree with what we viewed biblically, as our own family, you know, values, and how we taught our kids in our homeschool. But that doesn't mean that, like you say, we need to close ourselves off from those resources, because they are very good resources that we can use, because we're the ones educating. In the end, our kids need to know how to make those discerning differences in their own lives as they get older.
Yeah, and also, like, just the scriptural truth that, like, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Like, God owns everything. He's God. And so that includes all the things that the secular museums claim ownership of. God really is the one who created them, and he ultimately owns them, so we can use them as his children. And something like just a quick little thing I always like to remind myself and my family is like, when we go somewhere, wherever we go, whatever we're doing, like we want to see God's world through the lens of God's word. That's just kind of like a little statement that is easy to remember: God's world through the lens of God's word. Okay, got it. And you can kind of check yourself with that statement.
Right. Yep. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, my son said to me one point, why does it always come back to the Bible? And I said, because it does.
Right.
That's my easy answer for something complicated.
Yes.
So you're probably, you know, as parents with special needs children, because that's kind of where our broadcasts tend to go, we, you know, sometimes think, you know, about museums sometimes can be sensory overloading, and they can have a lot of other things. And we're gonna go into that a little bit later. So don't think that we're gonna skip over that, because there are many instances. I know I even went into a typical art museum with my daughter, and they had warning signs up in one whole area that the lights flashed. It could cause an epileptic seizure, and the tones were, if the whole art display was, it was very interactive, but very offensive to the senses. And it was meant to be that way. And so, you know, I would have never brought a child with sensory issues into there, but they did give warnings at least. But, I think sometimes as parents, you know, we see those types of things, or else I went into a museum also recently where I pointed out something to my daughter. My hand went over a sensor and this buzzer went off, and it was you know, so we can think of those instances, and they are very much not hands-on things that the kids with issues even when you want to expose them to as a parent. So we're going to talk a bit on the end side of this. So hang on also about some things you can do so you don't get into those spots with your children. But museums can be great resources if we ask the right questions and we prepare properly too. So, so that's kind of going to lead us into our next question too, is how can parents help their children, with interacting with the museum, which we kind of went a little bit into, you know, seeing what's displayed at the museum for the purposes of what you want them to see and what you want them to learn. And so I know you have some resources, but do you want to preface that with anything as far as discussion too?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, like whenever we're going somewhere, we always want to go with a purpose, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose is to lead our children. And as Christians, we want to lead our children to the Lord. So when you're going to a museum, I can fall into this trap. It's like, oh, like we're going here to be educated. And like, that's great, right? But the ultimate purpose is to lead them closer to Christ, you know, through education. So education is a means to an end, but it's not the end itself. You know, we're not here for an acquisition of knowledge. We're here for an acquisition of truth. And so when we go into these institutions, whether they be museums or your own backyard, like we want to acquiesce truth. We want to take hold of truth and let it grow in our hearts and not just try and fill our minds.
Right. Yeah. So you have an app that, I definitely want to talk to, because it helps parents do just that. So I put up the slide with that on there, and I also am going to put up the, I couldn't pull up the actual link on a screen because it actually just downloads it. So I'm going to give you the URL, and I'll put that on the Facebook feed as well. After we're done, I usually go in and fill those in, so you can just copy and paste them from there. And it'll be on the YouTube video as well. All the links and everything we're talking about will be on there as well. So tell us what does this app do, and how to do families access it, use it, make it useful?
Yeah, for sure. So the Creation Trail app is available for anyone who has an Android or Apple iOS device. It's a free download. You can get it on your smartphone. You can access it on a tablet, your PC, you know, wherever you're at. So creationtrail.org/download is where you'll want to go. And once you have the app, you'll be able to take biblical worldview and creation tours of museums, zoos, the top 15 or plus national parks in the United States. There's videos, audio tours, text that you can read maybe before you go to the museum to make sure that when you're explaining to your child, you have the right things, you know,
right,
understood so that
prepared.
You can answer their questions.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You want to be prepared when you go into these places. So it's good to use beforehand to prepare, and it's also can be helpful while you're there. Mm-hmm. The exhibits are broken down by type, and so it can fit any location, whether you're at the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C., or you're at the Natural History Museum in Dallas. You know, a lot of museums have very similar exhibits. Most museums have an exhibit on human origins. Most museums have an exhibit on, you know, wildlife or mammals and things like that. So this app touches on that and so much more. And it's really great. Additionally, you can find museums and other creation-based locations within our network at IAC. And you can find their contact information there. You can look up different events they have around the country. You can add the events to your own calendar. And there's a map also on the app. So if you go to the map, you'll be surprised at how many locations there truly are all across America and around the world that are safe and friendly to the biblical worldview. And but we encourage this app not only to be used for the locations in our network, but also to use them at these secular locations so that you'll be able to use what's in your local neighborhood on a regular basis and really build that into your educational portfolio. Like Peggy was saying, not just going to the museum when you travel, but going to the museum on a weekly, biweekly, monthly basis, what have you, the aquarium, the zoo, really build that hands-on experience into your child's education.
Right. Yeah, I have your map pulled up right now. It was quite impressive. I was going through it a couple days ago and just clicking on things and saying, what's here? What's here? So definitely check that out on the Creation Trail website. I'll put up that URL in just a second. I'm switching between screens, so I can only put up one thing at a time. But that interactive map is on there under, it's I think under parent resources.
Yeah, if you just go to learncreation.org and you click on family resources, then you'll be able to find all that information and so much more related to museums in our network and resources that you can use when you're at other locations.
Okay, yeah. So it's learncreation.org.
Yes.
Great. All right. So let me get back to my questions here now. Are there any other resources that you want to cover on your website that that parents could utilize in preparing, you know, ahead of time for going to different museums or interacting with different resources?
Yeah, there's a few like homeschool help printables, and we'll be talking about a few of them later on the broadcast, but you can go on the learncreation.org website and you can have some free printables that will help you in your adventures into creation. Make sure you download the app. Again, that's creationtrail.org/download. It's a free app. And there's a lot of other resources that are available and that are continually coming online as the network grows. And I think that, I mean, honestly, I'm surprised when I walk into the office, like, wow, there's so many resources available. And it's all because of God's hand guiding and directing everyone to work together. So it's really a beautiful thing. And we invite your family to join us on the Creation Trail and really get plugged in for education, for the advancement of truth, and for the edification of your child and your entire family.
Definitely. Great. So homeschool specific resources, you talked about the downloadables, and then you have parent guides. Is that something that we've talked about yet? I don't think so.
No, yeah. So yeah, we have parent guides available. So there's various parent guides. There are some parent guides that go with specific exhibits or specific topics.
Okay.
That are provided by various partner ministries. And then we have some of our own parent guides, one specifically for using museums in your homeschool. And it's more of a perspective type change rather than like step one, two, three. So it's kind of, you know, saying when you go to the museum, you can help your child learn about Scripture. You know, for example, I was recently at the Arizona Museum of Natural History in Phoenix, and I walked past a Native American dress exhibit. And so to the homeschool group that I was giving the creation tour to, I was able to share with them how why dress and why clothes are important, because in Genesis, Adam and Eve fell to sin, and he had to cover their shame. And that sin is still on the earth today, and so that's why we wear clothes. And so there's things like that. Like, we try to draw out scriptural truths when we go through exhibits. So it's not just like, oh, well, you know, here's a fact about this exhibit, but it's more like, okay, let's think critically, right? Mm-hmm. And how does this exhibit remind us or point us back to Scripture? And so you can see, like, I was in the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C. last month, and there was two lions attacking a wildebeest. And all the children were like, oh, wow, that's so cool. It is. It's interesting. But again, it points us back to Scripture and that, like, death, you know, has pervaded the entire earth. And we're waiting patiently, you know, in great expectation for that curse to be lifted. And so when we walk through these exhibits, we want to, like, think more than just facts or, you know, maybe the defense of the facts that we know to be true, and look at a deeper understanding of, okay, you know, what are two scriptures that when looking at this exhibit that I'm reminded of? And that's really a good thing for all of us, honestly. You know, like driving down the road and I see a tree. It's like, oh, wow, yes, like God is like making me into an oak of righteousness, you know? So just like little things like that. So that's one of our main parent guides. We kind of talk through that across three different points of application. So, and yeah, so there it is. And you can download that fun little parent guide on our website at learncreation.org.
Yeah, that it's you definitely have some really good points on there just about object-based learning, museum experience, ways to engage your children, things that you consider what to point out, and then it has more information about the app as well. So so definitely good. You know, it's not a lesson plan, but it's like the precursor to putting together a lesson plan for anywhere you're going to be. And that's what we need more, because we rely too much on what somebody else's opinion is when we teach our children, instead of letting the Holy Spirit lead us and just using the resources that we're given as we come. And I think whatever we have the opportunity to teach in whatever moments we're given, and sometimes it's a very short lesson when you've got a child that doesn't handle, you know, being out in public for too long. And so you just, you know, take the nuggets that you're given to teach, and then you just say, well, it was a good day because we got in that amount. So, so definitely that's good. So, I'm trying to think, is there any other resources of yours that you want to share before we dive into the downloads that we've created together.
No, I think that this has been really great. If you guys are able to download that app again at creationtrail.org/download on your Android or Apple iOS device, and then go to learncreation.org, click on Family Resource Portal, and print out this Using Museums Parent Guide. And as Peggy had said, it will help you and guide you into creating a lesson plan as you go to the museum. So
yep.
And that's the beauty about homeschooling, is that like 20 different families can create 20 different lesson plans and all arrive at the same objective.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I love that it's personalized, you know, like we know our children best. Like God gave us our children for a specific reason and purpose. Mm-hmm. And so it's such a privilege and an honor to be able to answer God's call and train our children up in the way they're supposed to go.
Yeah, definitely. And you see the fruit of that throughout their lives afterwards. So I'm going to bring up my other screen because I had to kind of go between two here and show you. That's unfortunately the screen that I look at. So I'm going to switch over to bring up the onspedhomeschool.com, which is our website. And there's also free downloads on Stephen's site, but on his site, when you click the button, it just downloads them. So I'm going to bring them up on our site because you can actually see them on there, and that's easier for me to show you. But this is what the page looks like on our website. And if you go under resources up here, it's just down at the bottom, it says free downloads. And these are our very first two downloads. And so I'm excited to introduce this new page on our website. And so what we have created collaboratively with Stephen's team is a checklist and a guide. So I'm just going to show you the checklist, and then we're going to kind of go step by step through the guide, because the checklist is basically a companion document to the guide that you can check off and say, yes, 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 we did all these things. We're prepared to go. So this is what the checklist looks like. It's pretty simple. It's a one-page checklist, and we have some things that you can do at home up on the top, and then things that when you contact the museum, which we really highly encourage you to do, to ask them about, especially based on the needs of your child and your family. So those are the things that we're going to go through on the guide. But this just gives you a place where you can use your pen and say, yep, we got all that covered.
Yeah.
So yeah, but definitely use the two in collaboration with each other. So going back to that page, then the guide here gives you a two-page document that it gives you a link at the end to both of our websites. And then walks you through it. So so things that you could do at home. We were, there's a lot of things that our team came up with things that they do with their own kids for helping with preparations for going to museum. And so there's easy ways to just calm anxieties, even like creating social stories. And this was something new to your team, I think.
Yeah.
So a lot of children on the autism spectrum have a hard time transitioning to new environments. And so what parents will often use, or therapists even, is what is called social stories. And they walk them through what's going to happen in that actual environment by using cards and pictures to recreate the scenes ahead of time, and then prompt the child on how they should respond to what they interact with, so that they've gone through the scenario many times before they even are introduced into it. And so that's what a social story is. And so so we have some questions for you to even ask the museum later on, or pictures you can even ask for them, or things on their website maybe that you can download to create these social stories, so your child isn't going into a completely new environment that they've never seen before because you've prepared them ahead of time. So that's what that's about. And then packing a quiet bag with security items from home. It's always nice to have those things, that those comfort items, whether it's a blanket or a favorite stuffed animal or something, just to have by with your child is always good. So so we kind of go through things like that, and doing lessons at home ahead of time with based on what they're going to learn at the museum, just so that it isn't words you've never used before, and you know, it's you want it almost to transition seamlessly from what you're learning at home into the museum environment.
Right. And that's one place where the app can really come in handy, because you know you can definitely use the app while you're at the museum, but what we hear always time and time again is how helpful the app was to review the exhibits before going into the museum. So you're not stuck there trying to think like, oh man, how am I going to answer my kid's question? You know, or how am I going to, you know, condense this down so they'll understand.
Right.
But going through it before and bringing your child through it before so they know what to expect.
Yeah.
Is really a great idea.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And, you know, even the teacher materials, which we're also going to talk about, that so many museums have that we can ask for. So we can be doing those lessons and using materials that are written by people who speak the same language, you know, as the museum curators and directors, so that we're introducing our children ahead of time to that transition. So, and it would also help, you know, with the information you have on your website and the app to be able to, like you say, that those pictures, to be able to walk them through the scenarios on that app and say, well, this is where you'll be, and this is what it looks like in that environment. So
Right. Definitely.
And then extra help is always good if you can have an extra set of hands, and favorite snacks as well. So those are some things that we have on the list. But as far as preparations with the museum, I want to go through each of these with you, Stephen, because because when we started going through these, you know, there was a lot of things that you and your team brought up that were like, oh, yeah, I guess I never really thought about that.
Yeah.
You know, as far as like the parking and entrance, one thing that you said to me was that that private museums don't have to be handicap accessible. And so that may be an issue for a child with accessibility issues or a parent who has accessibility issues. And so we talked about some different ways that families could still access the museum, even if there isn't the ability to maybe get into the entire museum. So do you want to share that with us?
Yeah. So as Peggy was saying, like sometimes there can be delays with accessibility at private institutions. And I know within our network, we're working to remedy those problems with solutions that will work for you and your family. So we appreciate your prayers there. But in the meantime, there are some issues that our team noted that could possibly arise. And so just talking about like entry and coming into the museum, maybe you are in a wheelchair or your child has a walker or something of that sort. And so it's a little bit hard to maneuver around the museum. And so in that case, all of our staff would be more than happy to sit down and give you a personalized come to tour in the lobby. So lobbies are usually larger, spacious, have comfortable seating in them. And if you just call ahead and let the staff know that you'll be coming, they would love to be able to bring some of the more mobile exhibits into the lobby and give you a presentation there. So I know that's
awesome. Yeah. And that's something I would never ask for. But, you know, just letting parents know this is something that, you know, that you as, you know, museum staff and would really be accommodating about. It's just it's very heartwarming. So definitely. So there are other options that you can ask for, and that's kind of what we go through in this this guide to ask for those things and those accommodations. And then food's another thing. Some places in museums, food's not allowed. and or outside food can't be brought in. And for people with, you know, extreme allergies, which we're seeing more of now, that can be an issue. So calling ahead of time and asking about offsite places that may be catered to gluten-free or, you know, whatever your issue is with food or your child's, that you can get around those sensitivities. There's different things to be had in that.
Also keeping in mind, like, when you go to the museum, you don't have to take in the whole museum at once. So asking, like, calling and asking if you can get, like, a ticket that's maybe valid for an extended period. You know, you do, like, one part of the museum on day one, and then you do a second part of the museum on day two. So instead of having it be valid for a specific amount of time day-wise, have it be valid for a specific amount of time exhibit-wise, especially if you have a child who may have, you know, less attention span or have some needing some help with, you know, stretching things out a little bit, right? I know, like, even we can, like, oh my gosh, that was so much information to take in all at once. That's something to consider. And also considering, like Peggy had said, food. But even, you know, maybe you are not even able to drive to the museum. But maybe there's a park nearby or a church nearby. You can call the museum. You can have them bring the museum to the church or to the park. You know, if you get a group of friends together, that's something that, you know, I know at least our museums and our network would love to do that. And we do that all the time. So if you're like, I just can't even, like, I can't take my kids in the car for, you know, a car ride to the museum, but the museum can come to you. So that's also something to consider.
That's really cool. Yeah. So that was kind of in the admission part and the tours where we talk about some of that. And, you know, just even also, I found that if I had a yearly pass, you know, to something, I didn't feel bad if we only spent an hour for the day, you know, and then had to go home. And so sometimes there's networks that, you know, share those types of admission passes. So something to look into to lower your costs as well, especially if you think, oh, I just can't afford this, but we definitely want to use museums. And so there are many workarounds, like Stephen was talking about. And then tours too. I mean, you know, having it come to you is a wonderful thing, but there's docent tours that, you know, you can have somebody walk you around most museums. There's volunteers usually that would love to do that. If you feel like I just need an extra set, you know, somebody helping me with guiding me around where to go, can point out a bathroom quick if we need it, because they know the place, you know, inside and out. They're there all the time. So those are other things.
And as we mentioned, like, previously, like, museum staff are usually really friendly and kind, and they want to help. So don't be afraid to ask. When you go to the museums, make sure you ask pointed questions, because they see lots of people every day. And, you know, I know for myself, when I'm working in a museum or something of that nature, I don't always, like, think, like, oh, like, this person needs help. But if you come and ask me, like, I will bend over backwards to help you, because, like, I want you to enjoy your time, you know, in the museum. So don't be afraid to ask, and just go up and say, excuse me, could you please help me? And I'm sure they would be glad to.
Right. Yeah, definitely. We've encountered that many times with museums, and just, you know, the people that are there, they volunteer for a reason, because they love being there and they love the stuff that's in that museum. So, so definitely take advantage of that. And, you know, we also talked about navigation and spaces, and it's, those social stories that we talked about at the beginning are very helpful, but it's nice to have a map of the museum. And most museums have maps readily accessible online that you can print off and kind of point out, okay, well, these are where the elevators are. These are where the bathrooms are. This is, you know, where the different exhibits that we want to go to. And most of the time, like I said, with the one art museum we went to, if it was extremely sensory, overloading. They do point that out now, because I think more now our society is realizing that people do have sensory issues. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, a lot of children's museums just are naturally very sensory overloading. So that's something to be aware of. There's, you know, strong smells, but there are two places in a lot of museums that are like quiet zones.
Right.
So figure out where those are, maybe more dark and soothing areas. You can ask people that work there, because they know. Mm-hmm. and definitely it's also good to work in the natural rhythms of your child's schedule into when you do certain exhibits.
Right.
When they have a lot of energy, do things with a little more energy. And when they need a quiet time, you know, definitely move into some quieter areas or take a break and go have lunch.
Right. Yeah.
So yes, definitely. Those are some of the things that we have in there. And then also special considerations we list at the very end. You know, specific things that are unique to your child. Make sure that, you know, you're probably used to accommodating them at home, and really think through ahead of time. What are we going to need to make this successful? And I love what your team wrote on the checklist is, don't be afraid to ask if you need it. If this is what you need to access this space, then it's acceptable to ask for it. So, and I think a lot of times we as parents with children who struggle, we go, well, it's just something I have to deal with. But it really isn't. There are so many people that want to come around you and love your family.
Right.
And really help. So I definitely want to point that out. So, yeah. But, all right. Well, I guess I have covered the majority of things. What else do you have to add? I guess we didn't talk about the National Homeschool Day. That was thing that we had on your list of things to share. There's the link. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So National Homeschool Day is a completely accessible, time to celebrate faith and family. In education in the home around the whole world. And so this past year we had it in February. We'll have it again in February of 2020. There's about 6+ speakers who have their talks streamed on demand. And you can access those streams throughout the day of the celebration in your time schedule. And whether early in the morning, late at night, you can break them up. You can watch them all together. You can watch one. You can watch all six. It's really flexible. And I know that is really helpful with, you know, so many families who have lots of little children or maybe who are more confined to their home on days of education. So that was really our heart, you know, is to reach the people who may not be able to go to, you know, your everyday conference or convention. And help them connect with, you know, people who know the education of the home, who know like faith-based biblical worldview, things like that. So you can go to National Homeschool Day. It's all one word, nationalhomeschoolday.com. And there you can find our speakers and you can find different details about the day. And it'll be updated as we move closer to this coming year in 2020 event. It'll be updated with links and things like that. But you can kind of like go to the website and see what happened last year, this past year in February, and get a feel for what to expect for next year. But again, great day just to celebrate family and faith and show that there is unity in the community around the globe. And that's accessible anywhere. We had people last year tuning in from South Africa, Australia, all across Europe, Nepal, Canada, Latin America, and right here all across the United States. So we really hope you can join us for it. You can see that we've got Israel Wayne, Dr. Lena Calentine, Kyle Justice, Sherry Seligson, Barb and Rich Heckey, Meredith Curtis, and those were last year's speakers, and they're all coming back again next year. And we've got some new and exciting international speakers coming as well. So we're really excited to share this with you guys. And We are here to help you in the long run. I also want to encourage you, if you live in America or in Canada, to get plugged into your state homeschool organization, your provincial homeschool organization if you're up north. And also, like in other countries, they have got national homeschool orgs, and a lot of those organizations want to help you and support you. And I know that Peggy's organization works alongside a lot of those as well. And we're really like, we're all one big family. We're all working in this together to support you and your family so that you can educate to the glory of God. And that's our heart.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And so, so yeah, on our website too, we have a lot of connections on to state organizations, because we do feel that, you know, we can give you national resources. And I was just at a meeting with a bunch of Texas influencers in the homeschool community last night. We have to definitely work with the people in our communities, but there's things we can share nationally. There's things we share locally, because every state's homeschooling law is different, but yet, and every country's homeschooling law is different. But there are, on how we educate our children, it doesn't really differ that much.
Right.
And so like you said, you know, you're doing the broadcasts, just because parents can't always get to conferences, and we're finding the same thing, especially with our parents, is childcare is a huge issue.
Right.
And even buying a conference ticket is not always 100% guaranteed that they're even going to make it there, because mm-hmm. their child might be in the hospital that week, or,
right.
you know, that's the kind of community that we cater to. So these broadcasts are like a lifeblood for our community, because,
yeah.
They give parents the information they need on demand. And I know our parents just love podcasts, because they said, I can just put you in my ear and make dinner. And
So,
well, I just want to thank you, Stephen. Definitely I want to put up your resource one more time. It's learncreation.org for a lot of the parent resources that we were talking about.
Yeah. And also on there, because you were talking about like virtual stuff, there's actually a virtual museum tour on there. So
awesome.
If you are asking yourself, well, how am I going to see this? You can actually go online and get a virtual creation science museum tour through our website at the location in San Diego. So
okay.
That's really exciting.
Very cool. Yeah, so definitely be checking out Stephen's resources. There's a lot of them, and they are accessible. and his, you know, like we talked about earlier, that interactive map of all the places around the world where people mm-hmm. can tap into your resources locally as well.
Yeah.
So,
and if anyone has any questions, they can always reach out to our office. So in the United States, you can reach out to us. The number is 407-512-0638. Internationally, you can go on WhatsApp, and you can put in that same number, 407-512-0638, and you can reach our global communications desk. And we would love to field any questions that you might have. And you can also go on our website. You can email us or connect with us on social media. Whatever's easiest for you, we're here to make learning at museums accessible. So we look forward to seeing you guys soon at one of the museums in our network, wherever you are in the world. And again, if you have any questions, please reach out. We'd love to help you.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much for your time tonight, Stephen. I just really appreciated all that you had to share, and just the resources you have for families. I think incredible. And you can tell that your heart is in this, and that you absolutely love what you're doing. That just shows. And just the excitement you have every day that, you know, I interact with you too often, and just like, yep, it's another day. So
So
that's great. It encourages all of us to keep going, because it's not always easy when you're
as an encouragement to all the parents out there. Like, I just want to share with you guys that for me and for all of us, like, we wake up and we don't write our own stories. Like, that's the most exciting part about waking up, is like the story is already written, and like God is leading us through his story or history, right? And so like we get the joy and excitement of waking up every day and being like, God, like, what great adventure do you have for me today? And knowing that God is with us every step of the way.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yes. And that is so true. It's not about us. It's about Him. And just pointing to Him with our lives. And,
yes. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. So we're going to continue on this summer learning trek next week, which we're taking a whole different approach, but something we don't talk about often in the school year. But when parents are pulling their kids out of school because of issues that have happened in the public schools, which we're seeing so much of in our community especially, and then also just you feel like, I didn't do enough this year, or you're beating yourself up about setbacks that you or your child have had this year, and we just can't continue on, I want to really encourage you to join us next week. Our guest is Steve Donofrio. He's been in the military. He was a struggling learner himself, and he teaches self-defense classes and confidence classes, and he's just a very unique man. Lived in Japan for the majority of his adult life and had worked on TV spots there. But we're going to be talking about growing confidence amid life setbacks. And I'm really excited to approach this subject because I know so many parents come to us saying, I just feel defeated. And we want you not to feel that way anymore. So that's what we're going to talk about next week. So thank you everyone for joining us on Sped Homeschool Conversations. And we will see you again next week, right here, same time, same place. And thank you again, Stephen, for all of that you had to share with our community. The podcast will be out on Sunday, as well as the full length video on our YouTube channel. And then we'll have shorter videos through the week next week. So we can, definitely revisit this wonderful information. So,
well, thank you so much, Peggy, for your time. Thank you for everyone who is tuned in or who's listening currently, and God bless you all.
Yeah, definitely. So keep the conversation going, everybody. We are, in our Facebook support group, where there's almost 1,700 of us, we're talking about special education homeschooling all the time. So definitely pop in there. So otherwise, we will see you again next week. Good night, everyone.